And hi, everybody. This is Liz. I'm pretty sure you can hear me. And waiting for, sure, there's a technical issue on Elisa's end. So usually when this happens, I just talk to you guys. And
so can you hear me now?
There she is. That's what I said. I talked to you guys, and then she popped
in.
No,
hey. I actually said the intro, and then you actually came in queue. And said hello. So I'm like, okay, well, now she's like, you can't hear me. Okay. Well, whatever. Hi.
Hi. Hi. anyway, welcome to Blog Talk. So you did the intro, but I didn't hear it.
Oh, well, I guess not. That means it probably wasn't working, so I don't know. I don't know. I love
we
you for Blog
know.
Talk Radio, technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mercury retrograde all
love
day.
Love it all day.
Day. All day.
Every
well,
day.
Well, this is the Some of You show. What's your name?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
What does matter? What is your name?
It's Elisa.
Yeah, girl. My name's Liz. Hey. Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. Well, we have a caller with a hand raised. I thought we'd
just
get into that.
Let's just get in there. Thank you. I would love
I'm
that.
I'm just so over this whole Blog Talk thing. I'm just
no. I hear you. Know. No. I hear you, and it's you know, and we've been sort of caller. We're going to take you in like 10 seconds. We have been sort of feeling and sensing this for a while, and now that Anna, founder of Universal Energy Radio, has reestablished herself as a more active, consistent presence in the recent weeks, I think she will likely look to see what the next steps are in terms of the technical front, because this is just more commonplace than not. That's why
mm-hmm.
I could understand completely. It's been on your shoulders this whole time, and it really needs to change. So we feel you, and I just appreciate you doing the heavy lifting on that one. So thank you so much. And, thank goodness, because without you, we really wouldn't have a show. So thank you so much, really. But, yeah, it's enough already. So I think that's going to be revealed probably sooner than later, how this show reasserts itself on a different platform, technically speaking. So, but while we are in the air, we will take this caller.
All right. Good morning.
Morning, Jay. Colin, how's it going?
Hey, Jay.
You better have something to talk about, because Elisa ain't going to have it.
She's laying low this time, or what?
She's no, she's not laying low. You heard what she said. We don't have to. She laid it out. She's not laying low. She's just doing her thing. So, give us an update or talk to us. You called in. What's going on?
Not much. I got a drum making ceremony today, which is pretty good. So
wonderful.
Looking forward
what
to
is
that.
What does that entail?
Well, they're making a raw. I got 6 students who are making a rawhide drum.
Nice.
And I got everything prepared, so it's been quite busy, and it's been pretty good actually. So I'm not gonna complain about that. I got 2 deer drums, two antelope, and a buffalo and a horse, which would be awesome. So for people to build, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
And it's snowing here too.
I'm just kidding. and how are things going with your mom, with her health?
I really don't know, because I'm just kind of like separating from them right now. Just
oh, okay.
they want to do things on their own, they do their things on their own. So.
Okay. Just asking.
Can't.
All right. So, yeah. And what else would you like to share with us?
I don't know. Just what are your views on compassion?
The view. Well, that's a really great question. You know.
Yeah, because I'm just what the word it means, what it's about. Because I was listening to somebody was talking about compassion.
Right.
And there's difference between compassion and sympathy for sure.
Absolutely.
But just wonder what the ancient teachings of it, or what you know about, or what the angels have been you know.
I don't know nothing except for whatever energy, comes in or what I pick up along the way. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a difference between sympathy and compassion. Sympathy, there's more of a distance. I think we can go maybe if we could put in Solaris, sympathy, compassion, empathy. So maybe compassion sort of lives between those two worlds, where sympathy is an acknowledgement, compassion is a connection, empathy is, I hope you find a way to release that, because empathy sometimes really, you kind of live that experience vicariously. You can really step in, not live that experience vicariously, but really step into what that experience feels like. Would be empathy, and you can walk around being an empath by default, or you can consciously volunteer, in a sense, energetically, to be an empath based on connecting with people and service the work that you do, and to sort of teach yourself that aerial perspective so that you can disconnect and clear, so that you are not becoming codependent in that empathy or in that empathic nature. So I think there's much more surveillance and diligence needed if you are an empath or a lead with an empathetic nature. And I think with compassion, which is neutral and I think very healthy, where you can see and understand the perspective and point of view of the other person's experience, and to have a forgiving nature in that. So I think it might go more into like the Buddha mind, compassion, so that you are not depreciating your value if there isn't a higher intelligence leading an empathetic nature, then you're going to go along for the ride, and that could have some detrimental effects. So I think compassion has a divine intelligence at that component woven into it, where you could really see and therefore, in some cases, forgive, because you have a clarity as to accepting where others are in their journey and in their process, and to disengage to the point of not taking things personally, because you are leading with the mind of forgiveness, yet compassion and understanding. Sympathy is more like, where's the card? I'm so sorry. And empathy is like, oh my God, I'm so drained. Like, it's too much. If you are a full-on empath without having that sort of eagle eye view perspective. So I hope that helps breaking it down a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing, the wisdom of compassion. Because if someone has... it's like what someone said on radio. It's like if you walk into somebody, like say maybe a prison, do you show compassion for what they did? Or you don't know these people, right? And or is it maybe you just view it but don't take it personally? I mean, just
well, that's the art. Yeah, that's the art and craft of it, and we just don't know from a backstory. We know from what we observe and therefore how we process it, and to the degree does that calcify into judgment? So I think compassion really neutralizes, and it's tough. I think compassion neutralizes the judgment probably better than the sympathy and the empathy. I think you're just drowning in the pain of what somebody else is going through, that it's, you're just really experiencing that, which can give you a lot of clarity and understanding. I think Elisa would agree with me that to have the makings of an empathetic nature, that it really allows us to not judge when we have callers, and to through our empathetic nature, we can be compassionate. Elisa, does that make sense to you when I say that?
Yeah, I think you're right in everything you said, which with the terms of distance, feeling a bit of distance when it comes to, say, sympathy. I think you just, you know, there's a feeling of, oh, I feel sorry. Yeah, you know, that's.
What do you want to eat? What do you want to watch?
But with compassion, there's. I almost want to say there's almost a neutrality, which is not the same as being distant, but kind of seeing it from all angles and saying I may not. So you mentioned prison, you know, going to a prison, Jay, and you can have compassion for those people because, you know, there's a part of you that may know that some people don't really belong here. And then others who do belong here have had a crazy, you know, backstory, history. And even though you may not agree with their choices, you can maybe see why some of the circumstances have led them to this place. Whereas I think if you're empathetic, you're feeling it. You feel it as if you've done all those things and all those things have happened to you. And it's much more enmeshed in what everyone's feeling. So that's what's so interesting is that, I think you can, if for people who are empathic, it's being able to separate themselves out from the others. And mm-hmm. sometimes that's the most difficult part is that they just feel mm-hmm. so much of it. And then, but for someone who has compassion, I think there is that level of neutrality, and also in that neutrality, trying to figure out a way to maybe, you know, how can we do better? Maybe not for that person, if that's just a path that person is on, but you know, so how would we help the next person to maybe not make those choices, to maybe, you know, not create the conditions that would lead to this type of situation, or to improve the situation, so that you know that's sort of that, so when you're in that, I kind of feel like that seven influences in with this compassion, because it has to have a bit of distance, but not the sort of distance that we would think of, but coming from a different point of view, like I said, the neutral point of view, and just allowing for the possibilities. Because I think well, when you see people who are in these dire circumstances, a lot of the times you hear that phrase, well, I didn't have any choice. Right. There was no choice to make. And that is obviously what they're thinking. That's why they are where they are. I think the compassionate person can allow that statement and not make them feel judged for it. But then,
you always have a choice.
It's like,
you don't want to hear that when you're like on
yeah.
the road. Like, that's what happens.
You're like, mm-hmm. Someone could choose to pardon me, but you know, I doubt that's going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah. Hmm.
Good question.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Good question. So something for you to think about. And since we have you, before we say goodbye, you will pick the message of the day. Hey. Okay.
Hey.
Hey. We're like, over to, you and I are just over it. Girl, you're so funny. You and I. I love it. We see each other. Okay. All right, Lisa, whenever you're ready for the music. You're going to pick the message of the day for all of us. So the number associated with this message, well, that's really funny. 7-Eleven. I'll have a blurb. 7-Eleven.
Of course it is.
Yep. Okay. And, oh, I like this message. Thank you for picking it, Jay, and this is for all of us.
Welcome.
Thanks. Okay. You are more than a survivor. You came here to thrive. Blast through resistance and fear. Your guides will assist. I'll read it again. You are more than a survivor. You came here to thrive. Blast through resistance and fear. Your guides will assist. 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, you know, Big Wheel, Chip Witch. Anyway, so the seven we already touched on, for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of inner work that happens with the seven nature. So a lot of times what comes off as wisdom, I mean, it is wisdom, but it's also wisdom that, you know, born of experience and being able to pick and choose these different experiences and say, you know, get the gift out of it, no matter how difficult it was. So usually that results in a lot of soul searching, you know, inner work, things that are just kept within until it's ready to really shine through. So that seven is really your inner guidance, and then the one, or as Liz put it, which was an 11, reaches for a higher vibration. If you think of those ones separately, then yeah, there's intention. There's usually a type of initiation, you know, like you want to start something, but you put those two together and have them balance each other out as an 11, then there is inspiration and also an ability to connect with the higher realms. So higher self, you know, guides, that type of thing. So when you have what is essentially a very spiritual number of the seven, you add two, that's another spiritual number of a nine overall, but then within that is an 11, a higher master number, then the message makes, well, it always makes sense, but I'm not surprised that those are the numbers associated with that message. Your guides can only really reach you if you are able to ask, and you're also at a vibration where you can ask and receive the answers that come your way, because sometimes they may not be the answers you're expecting. So that's a little, so don't tell me it's like a kind of tough love, but it's not really that tough. It's just, you know, when you're in resistance, it makes it seem like it's really tough. So you can ask. A lot of people ask and they don't really want to receive because they're just not really ready to hear a possible answer that is outside the realm of what they are expecting to get. But that's exactly what you need to allow. So when we're breaking through these resistances that we have, it's a barrier to receiving other possible answers that you hadn't thought of before. And it wasn't your job to think of it, of other answers. But that's partly why you have these guides. They can help you. They'll show some other possibilities. But if you're not really ready to receive it, then you're going to block any other possibility than that. They're showing me like a very small keyhole. That's the door of understanding. And the only thing that will fit, the only answer that you will receive has to fit through that keyhole. Whereas if you're really ready, when you've asked that question, whatever questions you have, you've actually thrown open the doors, opened the windows, you know, you're like, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't want to know the answer or an answer or the answers, and it could come in through the window, the door, the mail slot that's already an open door. There's all these different possibilities. But that's that's an ongoing process, and that's something that we get better if we are able to just chip away a little bit at the different barriers that we have and the barriers or the understandings that we think we can handle. You know, that's really an understanding of who we think we are. Oh, I couldn't possibly do that. And then, like, you know, a year later, you couldn't imagine not doing that. So bigger picture stuff is that these things are always changing, but the more you're aware of where you're not going to let go of something yet, it's okay. I mean, guys are like, well, whatever, you know, we're still around, and you'll still get different clues so that you will be able to unlock those doors and actually open them. They can be unlocked but still closed. But, you know, someone's got to turn the handle. So it's a great message, because it's not you being told what to do. But it's you being allowed, you allowing yourself to receive some answers and to mull over those possibilities and then to act on them. It's still solely, you know, your responsibility. There can be a lot of power in that.
Isn't there a message, like, and I say this with my mom too, it's like it's not your own time. It's when something happens, like, you know, operations or health issues or whatever, it's you're working with universal time, and that's actually the present moment. I find that's what I'm coming to realize now too. And we just think it's our own time, but I don't think it's governed that way. I think it's universal time, which is the present moment. So
Well, there's always a lot more happening around us, but by choice, we're in a limited form. You know, some people have two good eyes, and some people have two kind of okay eyes. Some people don't have any eyes. So,
we're breaking up there.
Yeah. So Jay, did you hear what I heard, which was that she just completely cut out? We didn't hear her for the last couple, like, 30 seconds.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
So that's, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So thank you, Blog Talk. So I'm sure Lisa said something amazing about you don't have any eyes at all, and I don't know what she said.
Yeah, you cut out there too.
Who, me?
Something, yeah, he cut out.
Did both of us cut out?
You did.
Well, you have to specify who's you, Liz?
Yeah, Liz cut out.
Okay, so we're both cutting out. Lisa, they just make it so much fun for us, Block Talk. Thank you so much. Let's
Richard
see.
Retrograde.
Yeah, we know.
Leave it on Mercury.
It's just another show. Alisa?
Yeah.
Okay, good. She's back. All right. So maybe if you could just repeat, like, the last sentence or two that you said, because we both did not hear it.
Well, it basically was talking about how you will be able to receive, you work with what you got. You were able to receive information regardless of your circumstances.
Right.
You know, you work your other abilities.
Right.
And if you're ready to receive, then the reception is, speaking of reception.
That's great.
If not now, present moment, then present moment, you know, in a future time. So.
Right. Right. Very well said. Well, we appreciate the call, Jay, and have a wonderful workshop today with the drum making. And we'll make sure not to tell PETA what kind of hides you're using. Okay. good luck with that, Jay. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, love you both. You're welcome.
Okay, honey. Love you,
Take
too.
Take care. Love you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great workshop.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Have a great day.
Yeah, we will. Thank
you. All right. So,
girl. Feeling it.
I know. All right. We have two hands raised, of course, you know, on a day where we have technical difficulties. We'll do the best we can.
We'll do the best that we can. That's it. Okay, so hopefully everybody can hear us, we can hear them, and we can proceed. All right, so we'll take the next call.
All right, area code 912, good morning.
Caller, you're
good
on.
Good morning.
Who's this?
Maria.
It's Contessa's mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Girl, you gotta say hi. Okay, because we know you. Hi, Maria. It's been a long time. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you, too.
All right. What's going on? I know something's going on. thank you for calling. And how can we help today?
Just want to know, do you have any message for me?
Of course. We always have messages for you. So you know the routine. So when you take a couple seconds after you hear the music and say the word pick, and you will pick your message. So ready when you guys are.
I'm ready.
Oh, she ready.
Now.
Okay. Interesting. So it's so funny. So the number we just had was 711. This number is 611. Here's your message, Maria. Remember to be committed to your dreams and desires. Focus on that, not on the illusion of life's petty problems. You know what? You could also say, Tessa, this is for you too. wow, I'll read it again. Remember to be committed to your dreams and desires. Focus on that, not on the illusion of life's petty problems. This is a great message for all of us. I'm really glad that you picked it, Maria. And Elisa, again, the number is 611.
Well, that number six, also, you know, we talk about it being a nurturing number. It's also a number of vision, being able to have a dream, you know, to want the best, you know, to want something better for yourself and for your family. Is usually that six encompasses not just you, but the people around you that either depend on you or that you want to take care of. So that six establishes the first part of the message. The one and the one, it's the same as the previous message, where it's intention and it's the initial spark of wanting to do something, but we put them together and it's actually accomplishing. It's not just a dream now. It's not just some idea. It's figuring out ways to make it happen. And to be inspired by it, that's why you're making it happen. You're so inspired, you have to take action. But you put those two, or, you know, really the three numbers together, and it ends up being an eight, which is a number of manifestation. It's a power number. And so these are the influences that say, you know, if you have a big plan or a dream or a desire, you do have to work at it. Like, you have to continue to focus on it. And if anything, a number eight knows how to make that work. A number eight energy knows how to take an idea, a plan, and put all the right elements together, assemble the right team, because you don't do it alone. And but someone has to keep the whole group focused. Someone has to remember, like, hey, this is our goal, remember? So let's not get distracted. Let's, you know, if we're going to take on another project, we have to know how to prioritize and see if it links together, then that's great. But the priority is this goal. And so there's a feeling of accomplishment. But you have to have that vision, and you have to know how to work together with however your team is assembled to see the bigger picture, to really see it to the point where I know how, what needs to happen, or if I don't know, I know someone who knows how to make it happen. So it becomes a community effort, ultimately, for these big goals. Even if it's a personal goal, you're working with the universe, and that's pretty big. So, great message.
Okay.
Well, I hope that helps, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, Maria. Put you on mute. We got it.
We have somebody else in the queue, right?
Yeah, one more.
Okay.
Area code 909. Good morning.
Calling good morning. My name is Genevieve, and my birth date is 1/17/43.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she'll just take the month and date, 1/17.
Okay.
And first time caller? Obviously, yeah.
Yes.
We remember you. So thank you for finding us. The other thing is why, while Elisa makes a calculation so she can talk to you about your personal year, is that I'm going to ask for permission so that we can connect to your energy, please.
Okay.
Okay. And what's on your mind? What are you needing today?
Okay. I'm having an issue with, let's go on something happier. My granddaughter is taking her bar exam this summer, and she's a nervous wreck.
Right.
I told her that she will pass, and there's a lot of pressure on her and the students to pass.
Of course.
This summer, because their law school is going to be closing down because of low rate of passing on the students.
Oh, wow.
So I told her the best thing you can do is pass. And dedicate yourself to study.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel she will pass because she is a good studier. Okay, I don't know if there's such a word.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Stephanie.
And yes, but she's not calling us. You're calling us.
I know.
So what's your question? I mean, what's so beautiful is that you're such a devoted grandmother and you love her so much. And often as mothers, grandmothers, we will put those loved ones ahead of ourselves. So she's not calling us. So what's the question to us?
Will I be happy that she passed? Will I be happy?
You know the answer to that question.
I say yes.
But you know the answer to that question.
I'm biased. Okay?
But you know the answer to that question. You would be happy if she didn't pass because you love her unconditionally.
Correct.
You would be happy to console her if she needed her grandmother to hold her hand and say she's beautiful and a beautiful person, a beautiful soul, and you love her no matter what. So I think that's a very clear question that it's not our place to answer. You know the answer to that because you would love your grandchild. It's almost like asking us, do I love my granddaughter? I don't think you would need to call us to answer that question. You would be happy no matter what because she needs happiness.
Correct.
Maybe that's the key word. So I think what would be more appropriate is I'm going to turn this over to Elisa since you did volunteer your birthday, and we'll just leave it at that. So I'm going to just flip it over to Elisa.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's definitely some other questions you have, but I think you're so used to really not putting the attention on yourself in that sense. So anyway, with your birthday in January, you entered a number one personal year. So in numerology, we have a cycle of years of 1 through 9, you know, where, you know, in the beginning, that's that one. It's like, you've come into a new understanding of who you are, and you're still trying. You're excited, but you're trying to figure out now what do I do with this new understanding of who I am, and recognizing all the things you've accomplished to make you who you are, and where do you take that now? You know, what is it that you want to be doing, and what do you want to experience? And it's not so far open that you don't know. Kind of like that question of, well, will I be happy if she passes? Of course, you know you will be happy. You'll be ecstatic. So a lot of it is kind of, this is a year for you to maybe cut through some of I want to call them the barrier questions. So they're like little barriers because it's not really about you, but it's kind of connected to you. So like, okay, so if they're doing well, then I'm doing well. But if we can get through the heart of all of that and to see, what is Genevieve doing right now? How is she? How are you doing? What are your questions? What do you want to know about yourself? That's where you can get into a little unknown territory, because you never maybe have had to answer that question, or you haven't had to answer it consistently. And now you're in a space where that's what's going to come up. Everyone else around you is doing their own thing. They always have. And not that they don't depend on you for support in different ways. But now it's like, let's turn this around and give you the opportunity. Let's give you a blank canvas and, you know, whatever tools you want to make. What do you want to create? I mean, that's really the big question for this year is, what do you want to create? Last year was almost like, what are you going to destroy? Like, what are you going to let go of? And so it may have been a crazy year this past, you know, last year, where a combination of, you felt maybe the rug was pulled out from under you, and other times you're like, I'm definitely going to drop that because that's just crazy. I don't want to deal with that anymore. And now this year is like, oh, take a deep breath and now let me sit still for a moment. And, well, not that still, but let me take a moment for me. In fact, take a lot of moments for me. And let me ask myself these questions. And some of them you're going to know. Like, if you were to listen to this show and your portion of it, you would listen to how you've asked the questions and how you maybe not asked the question, but you wanted to ask a question. And then you'll know when you listen, like, you'll know when you listen to yourself, you'll know what you were wanting to ask. And it may not have been something you needed to ask out loud to us, but it's probably something you need to actually say out loud to yourself, so that you can now go about the business of taking care of you, taking care of Genevieve, and seeing what it is you want to be creating and experiencing this year. Because you're starting a whole new cycle of 9 years, 9 years of discovery, of growth, of aha moments. There's a lot happening that you are, you know, you're just sort of gearing up for. You don't have to get it all right, but you do have to start with you. And that's, I think it's something that you, like I said, haven't probably had to look at, because you had other people that you love very dearly that you would put in front of you. And, you know, you want them to do well. And I'm sure you're like this power person within the family, because you're fantastic at that kind of stuff. But now is the opportunity. Now is really everything's going to point to, but what do you want to do? And you're not the only one. It's not even about, you know, your birthday. You're not the only one who's being faced with that question. And it's sort of catching a lot of people off guard, because you almost don't want to dare to dream. But take the previous caller, Maria, and that message, which was to have a big vision, you know, don't lose sight of your dreams and desires, but you got to know what those are. You know, you got to have them, you know, everyone has them. You have to own up to them. You have to really, you know, put it down on paper, do a vision board, whatever it is. And just, they're almost saying, be playful at it in the beginning, because it's meant to be very lighthearted. It's meant to bring out the best in you, not the hard stuff, because that's always going to come. But bring out the best in you, that so that it's when you see it, whatever you're creating, that's the feeling you're going to remember. You're going to remember that feeling of lightness and you know, whimsy. I don't know. I'm trying to think of really good words. But you're a Capricorn, so I know you're also very practical. But you can be practical and, you know, and sexy at the same time. You can be practical and happy and have a lot of fun at the same time. I think that's what you can explore in this time. And not have any, you know, any need to explain it to anybody, but you have to know it for yourself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It seems like, truthfully, and it's strange, because I have my youngest daughter who's got problems, and what you want is for them to be like you, work hard, save, budget. Plan, mm-hmm. be careful right. how you spend your money, and but, she's mm-hmm. kind of just the opposite. And
but there's the less,
you cannot change people. I know that, but
that's right.
I tried gently to guide her, but I blew up last night because really, you know, enough is enough. I'm 74, she's 50. when, you know, is she going to realize I'm not going to be around forever and she can't be leaning on me forever?
There we go. That's the issue.
Yep.
And why was I sensing when Elisa speaks to a caller, I kind of connect to their energy and see what comes in. And for some reason, I was feeling that there was some sort of conflict that involving, is there a male anywhere involved?
Yes. Thank you.
I was getting an energy, and you haven't mentioned a male yet, but I was feeling there's something going on with a male energy. I believe there's a male involved in all of this. And that impression came in almost right after you said hello, practically. It came in. So there's some issue. You don't have to share it with us, but energetically it came in. And I would say because I picked up on that influence, on that energy, there is a conflict there. I felt it pretty much right after you said hello. So you
I will gladly share it.
I
bought a condo with her money and my money, you know, in November. And
okay.
She moved in. She's
okay.
Making half the mortgage payment. We rented. I don't live there. We rented out one bedroom to a man who I thought, you know, was a nice man. I investigated. He works everything.
Right.
Well, he's turned out kind of weird. Number one, I think he's got a humongous crush on her and has been really obnoxious about it. So I gave him a 30 days notice.
Mm-hmm.
And she's afraid of him because I think he does drugs or he should be on medication.
Right.
He's up
so
all hours of the
there.
Night.
He's unstable. He's unstable.
Yes, very unstable. He's
okay,
up all night. He's weird. So
Okay. Will
he leave peacefully when the 30 days are up, or am I going to have to evict him, which will be another 30 days?
Well, I wish I could answer on behalf of people who did not call the show, but what I can say is energetically I did pick up a conflict with the male, so we did uncover that. That's really the main reason why you called.
Right.
When you just strip everything down, I would say if you, and it's interesting, the early part of this show, Genevieve, we've talked about the difference between sympathy, compassion, and empathy. If you can, I believe you also have, maybe it was in the past, but there, you had a connection spiritually with maybe the Virgin Mary, or there's some sort of a saint, or maybe Saint Teresa. There is some. I feel maybe growing up there was some sort of beautiful sainted kind of influence from your childhood. I'm not sure. I'm getting that as well. But I think if you really just give it to God, whatever that means to you. Or source, or love, whatever, and you understand that this person is mentally not healthy, and if you pray for this person, and if you bless this person, and you surround not only yourself, your daughter, the unit, but also this gentleman with the golden light, then darkness can't cast out the light. So if you sort of go that way, that route, unconsciously he's going to pick up on the compassion. You don't have to show anything. It's what you need to feel within yourself to replace fear with light. That would be your best investment for a peaceful exit. You got to turn this over to source, God, whatever, the Virgin Mother, whatever resonates with you as a higher realm, that's what you got to put this situation into and replace the fear with love and light.
Well, you're right, because I have been sending him God's love and God's light, hoping it'll calm him down.
But also, but the hope means fear and doubt. You cannot doubt.
Correct.
You can't doubt God, because God's like, you doubt me, I'm going to show you what doubt looks like.
You're
okay?
Right.
So it can't. There's no loopholes when it comes to source.
I have to trust.
And you can't,
yes.
And you can't micromanage source either. You can't control source or wish source would do a better, quicker job. So it's faith. And I guess maybe that's why I'm picking up from the past. Maybe there was more of a faith-centered awareness from your childhood or that you witnessed that. You know, maybe it's time to have a little blind faith. I don't know. But it's really time to replace the fear with faith and not qualify it. Well, if I surround it with God's love, then I hope he'll do a good job. So you're almost putting that pressure onto source. So source can't be controlled.
Right.
Source doesn't operate on the same paradigm and plane that we do. The same way you can't control your kids or an unstable tenant, you can't control source. But you can surrender to source and sincerely pray for this man, not out of fear, but sincerely, but to dig within yourself, Genevieve. Okay, what is this showing me about unconditional love and forgiveness? What if this gentleman was one of my children? You see?
Yes.
You see how that just, your energy already is beginning to shift. I can feel it right now. Do you see that? So this way it's less divided. It's less divided. It's less us and, because he feels that. He feels that line of division or that line of judgment. So if you can neutralize,
I told her
that,
he's not a bad man. He's a very troubled man. So
exactly.
Don't be afraid.
Well, you got to tell yourself that.
I know.
You know what I mean? You can't work it both ways because you're trying to control the situation. This is the ultimate situation to show you about having faith and to sort of step back. You know? So yeah, you are legally bound to this unit. You have this financial arrangement with your daughter. But she has to have her big girl underwear on and deal with the consequences. I would say step back. It's as hard as it is. Step back from, I think yesterday, last night, let that be the last time that you blow up. It's not good for your health. And I don't know how much of a difference it made on her.
Right.
Probably not too much. Probably if you would assess it from a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 3. Was that worth it?
Correct.
Right. And I would also share, I'm in a situation that's very different, but what I can say, I'm in a situation where there's a lot of disagreement, a lot of disharmony. And I no longer want to, and this sounds very harsh, but I mean it in very elevated spiritual terms. And I'll explain what I mean in a second. I no longer want to be a disgrace to source. And what I mean by that, I don't no longer want to be disconnected from my grace. If you look at the word disgrace, it's a disconnection from grace. And grace is to hold your head up and walk through the darkness, knowing that at the end of that journey, the end of that path, that the lessons that you need to walk through with your head held high, no longer be a disgrace to source, but to be in your grace. No longer defaulting to judgment and bitterness and trying to speak a language that is not being understood. No longer being a disgrace to source and to release all shame and judgment and to know that in order to get through the light, we have to stumble through a little bit of darkness. But if you know that that's a pathway to light, the light reveals itself at the same time. That's the beauty. That's activating love. So if it feels right, if you could communicate that message to yourself that, okay, that was the last time, that is the last time that I will be not in my grace. That will be the last time that I will be ashamed, meaning full of shame, and that I will be a disgrace, meaning disconnected from your grace. That was it. And I think if you don't do that anymore, not only are you protecting your own health, Genevieve, but I also think that it, you are connected back to your grace and therefore able to make the same point, but much more elegantly. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Good. Good. You're good. And your heart's opening up now, I can tell, for a connection to yourself. It's so painful when we're trying to control others and we are wounded by being in the line of fire. How long
you're
are
you
going
right,
to take?
You're right, because I hardly ever blow up. So I am ashamed that I blew up so terribly.
That's okay.
It's not
that's
me.
Okay. That's okay. But see, that's your pathway to the light. You got it. It's like food poisoning. You got it out of your system. You got it. It's okay. It's okay. And you could say goodbye to that part of yourself. And I really understand. I'm saying goodbye to that part of myself as well. So I can say this with much compassion and empathy, okay, that when you get to that place of being ashamed, you're not beating yourself up. You are actually no longer being a disgrace, and you are reconnecting to your grace because you know it isn't you. So you're saying goodbye to that part of you. That's why you blew up last night, because you are ready and strong enough to walk through that darkness, the illusion of that darkness, to the light, and that you will recognize when you're feeling a judgment and when you are understanding that you're on a pathway to the light and to shifting your perception. So when you feel that you're going to judge this tenant or your daughter or your granddaughter in terms of wishing that she wouldn't be so hard on herself or wishing that she wouldn't, you know, all those things, when you are, you could just say, I am neutralizing this and surrendering this to love. I am no longer controlling. I am no longer judging. I am loving myself. And just know that it's a pathway of walking through the darkness. And in that acknowledgement, in that fearlessness, Genevieve, it automatically turns into light. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I so appreciate your words. I really admire and respect your words.
Thank you so much. What I would like for you to do before we say goodbye is if you have a spare hand, place it on your heart. And if you could take one deep breath, and this breath is for your body, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And the next breath is for your mind, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And the next breath is to neutralize judgment and fear and convert the darkness the light, and knowing that you're on a journey that acknowledges the darkness, in through the nose, out through the mouth, and that breath merges your soul with source. And we so appreciate you being a first-time caller. We're on 3 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. And feel free to call us back with an update. And Lisa, real quick, what's her personal year?
Oh, it's a one. We talked about that. It's a one.
We did. See, I, you know what you did. I go into an altered state. I go into an altered state and I forget about like the business at hand. Yeah, Lisa did do that. Okay. So take care of business. But I go into an altered state when I connect to somebody's energy. So I'm back. Thank you. Thank you for that, Elisa. And what a pleasure to speak with you. And yeah, hold your head up high. Be that elegant, fierce woman that you feel is left in the past. She's right here.
Thank you both so much, Elisa and Liz. I really appreciate your words today.
All right, beautiful. Mm. You're doing great. And feel free to give us an update. We would love to hear back from you.
I will. Thank you so very much for helping me calm down.
Yes, girl.
God bless you both.
Yes,
God
beautiful.
Bless you both.
And I know she's a looker. I know she's a looker. I know she is. I know. All right, girl. Take care. I could tell.
Take care, Genevieve. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she's... Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
And don't even pretend. Funny. Don't even pretend, Genevieve, because I could tell. I feel the energy.
Good.
Yeah. That was a wonderful opportunity, experience with the first-time caller, so... I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, we had a few people in the chat room. I know as Havertown and Raven and a few guests. I know Jay, but we already talked to Jay. So that is good. We needed that call, I tell you.
We did.
It's just nice to.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did. That's the thing, too. It's a two-way street. It's a double-sided equation where, you know, we're just on the phone giving. It's an energy exchange. It's an exchange of energy, and to apply, you know, in real time, the shifts in the understanding that I'm gaining in my personal experience, and to relate that, it also... cast light on what we do on the show and how we apply our life circumstances, and we can understand even deeper and more fully with a compassionate heart and an empathetic voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actual, truthful application, you know. Because I've been on this shift where I'm being very mindful about discussing my personal circumstances as a matter of elevating the energy, no longer being a disgrace, disconnected from source, no longer being ashamed, and no longer... being in that space of judgment and fear.
Wow.
And and it's very tough to get there, but we also have to acknowledge that no matter what modality or what mode of study or teaching or influencers we are applying, we have to own the fact that in order to get to the, and a lot of us resist this, and I certainly am one of those people, we have to walk through that darkness to get to the light and own that.
Mm-hmm.
It's called being a human being on this insane planet. We have to own that so that we can elevate it and transform it. So what an opportunity to have this wonderful conversation with Genevieve.
Yeah.
And we all benefit from that. You know, and it shifts us because from how, and it's funny because you and I don't have to talk to each other to know like how we're feeling like for a show. So, you know, we already know that we're going through it. We already know. You're like, yeah, morning. Okay, who cares? We know what the show is. Okay, let's go. I'm like, okay. but so beautiful is that what a wonderful way to end the show. We elevated the energy. We transmuted it. If you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thank you so much, all of you guys, for a beautiful show experience. Thank you, Elisa, for dealing with the technology. And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the feeling.
The feeling.
To you. Have a beautiful day, everybody. Love you. Take care.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.